It doesn't take a West Coaster to notice that Manhattan has changed a lot since 1925. That's the year The New Yorker was first published. Commentator John McWhorter is a linguist and an academic, and after a long stint of living in Berkeley, California, he is now living in Manhattan. He's been reading Talk of the Town and the famous New Yorker cartoons.
I've been trying to be more mainstream lately. I'm using Windows for the first time. I rented the first Spider-Man movie and then saw the sequel. And I started reading The New Yorker. People always seem to expect that I read it, so I decided to try it out for once. And it's a fine magazine, but there is one thing. Why are all the people in the cartoons white? Only 1 in 5 New Yorkers are native-born whites today. But even though most of the cartoons in the magazine take place in Manhattan or nearby places, racially they preserve an earlier America in amber, namely, America before the Civil Rights Act, or the Immigration Act of 1965, when it was acceptable for movies, television, ads, and cartoons to show a virtually all-white country. Now, I know that one way of looking at this is to surmise that somebody at The New Yorker doesn't like ethnics. But the left-leaning, racially sensitive contents of the magazine make this analysis highly unlikely, and I see no value in even pursuing it. More likely, it's a holdover from the grand old New Yorker of the 50s and 60s, when cartoons about bickering couples and office politics, filtered through existential ennui, were fashionable. In those days, the vast majority of Westchester County couples and office executives were white, after all. But starting in the 70s, most comics and cartoons started reflecting the changing America. So Charlie Brown made a black friend, so did Archie Andrews, and The Simpsons make sure to have Dr. Hibbert and Carl. Now, I'm not wishing The New Yorker would make its cartoons reflect the actual demographics of New York or America in each panel. But in an ideal world, The New Yorker cartoons could include blacks, Latinos, and Asians, just enough to at least suggest modern America. Take away the cell phones and the computers, and reading these cartoons is like going back in time to reading the funnies in the era of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Now, make no mistake, I have no problem with old-fashioned touches, such as the magazine's typeface and layout, and I understand that the cartoons are meant as a kind of look-back to the world of John Cheever. But in that John Cheever world as it exists today, there are legions of Indians, Asians, Latinos, and black people. Leaving them out of the picture almost completely does not look charmingly antiquarian, but frankly, a bit backwards. Maybe I'm missing something here, but I can't help wondering, how can a magazine that publishes Henry Louis Gates Jr. and can devote an entire issue to hip-hop have cartoons stuck in the world of the Lockhorns? The changing faces of upper-middle-class America over the past 40 years are something we should all be proud of. In a magazine as magnificent as The New Yorker, it leaves an ashy taste in one's mouth to see its cartoons serenely and eternally neglecting that this ever happened.
Commentator John McWhorter is the author of Authentically Black. He lives now in New York.